Your organization just passed its ISO assessment. Your board is absolutely thrilled. Your auditors gave you a clean letter with minimal recommendations and very few opportunities. And if a real crisis hit your company tomorrow morning, you would be entirely unprepared to manage it. And this is not a contradiction. This is the gap between compliance and resilience. And this is the gap that takes companies down and extends disruptions. Compliance proves what you did in the past. Resilience is what you execute under pressure in the moment and into the future. These are not the same thing. And treating them as if they are is one of the most common and most expensive mistakes that I see executive teams make. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath, and this is the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. On today's episode, we'll be talking about why a clean audit or assessment does not equal a resilient organization and what you should be measuring instead. Now, executive teams love big plans and big programs. The thicker the binder, the more reassured the board often feels. I understand this impulse. A 400-page business continuity plan looks like proof that you've done a ton of work and you've taken this very seriously. It is not. We saw this play out in previous incidents in my career. Companies with elaborate documented plans froze in the moment, while companies with rehearsed and experienced leadership teams moved and took the right actions. The plan didn't fail, the people did. Documentation is something that ages quietly. Nobody screams about it. The org chart on page 14 is wrong. The recovery time objectives on page 92 was set 3 CIOs ago. And the vendor contact on page 187 retired in 2023. That's a normal amount of challenges with long detailed plans that aren't maintained. Meanwhile, leadership muscle memory deteriorates even faster than executives realize. 6 months without an exercise and your senior leadership team is back to their first principles when the phone rings at 2 a.m. and they have forgotten the processes that you have built together. This is the trap. When you prioritize paperwork over practice or compliance over resilience, you force your teams into a rigid corner. The crisis will not match the scenario that's in your binder. Never does. And a team that has only ever read the plan instead of practiced it and exercised it and stress tested it will freeze when reality does not cooperate with what you've written in your 400-page plan. The plan is not the program. The program is the people, the practice, and the decisions that you have rehearsed enough times that they feel familiar under pressure. If you want a resilience program that actually works, two things have to change. First, you have to stop running your resilience program adjacent to the strategy for your organization. I see this all the time. The business is moving workloads to the cloud, closing data centers, shifting to AWS or Azure or Google Cloud. They're entering a new market. They're acquiring a competitor. They're restructuring the supply chain. The resilience program, though, is still planning against the org as it existed 2 years ago. Your program, in this case, is already obsolete. It just doesn't know it yet. Resilience has to move at the speed of the business. If your strategy team's in the room and your continuity team is not, you have a problem. Second, you need to change what you're talking about to executives and what you're putting in front of the board. Stop showing them how many plans you updated this quarter. They don't care and they're not going to care. That's hygiene. That's table stakes for your program, not creating value. You want to show them business outcomes first. Show them how your program protected uptime during the last major vendor or SaaS failure. Show them the revenue exposure that you reduced by relocating a critical process in a disruption. Show them the time to decision model in your last simulation and how that compares to the previous year. Show them what risks you have retired and what risks you have accepted and why. Boards should not need more compliance theater. They need to understand that their resilience investment is buying them operational and financial terms that are critical to the success of the organization. So what can you do this week to improve in this area? Well, two takeaways. One is for you as a practitioner. One is for your board. If you're a practitioner and you're listening to this, your job is not to police the enterprise. It's to enable risk-informed decisions. You want to move from being a technical operator to a strategic influencer. That means fewer status updates about plan revisions and more conversations about what the business is doing next and how you support it. And if you're not in the strategy meetings, you need to find a way to get there. We have our white paper about wielding influence as a resilient leader that has a lot of ideas about how to accomplish this and how to think about your role as a more influential person within the organization. For board members and executives that are listening to this, change the questions that you are asking. Stop asking whether the compliance boxes are checked. Your auditor is going to tell you that. Start asking these questions instead. When did we last simulate a cross-functional enterprise-wide disruption? What did we learn from it? What have we changed as a result of those lessons that we've learned? Who owns the decisions that we struggled with last time? If your answers are vague, you don't have a resilience program. You have a documentation program with a resilience label on it. Crisis management is a governance challenge. The board's role here, the same for business continuity, is to govern and support and assure that you have the right capabilities in place across the organization. It's your management team's job to lead the company and run operations. That exercise that proves whether either side is ready is the one that you probably haven't scheduled and executed yet. That's going to do it for this episode of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. As always, you can find more at brightpath.com, and you can reach out to our team anytime if you want to talk about how to move your program from compliance to capability and resilience. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.